policy and everything. So, but overriding all of those kind of things, isn't it great to be together?
Amen.
It's great to be back together. It's great to have people that have not been able to be with us for a little while because they've been sick and so forth. And it's great to have them back with us and at least feeling better enough to be here with us today. And so we praise God for answering those prayers. I do want to mention to you also, please continue to keep in mind Ray and Betty. Ray has bronchitis, and he's struggling with that. Betty is, I'm not exactly sure what she has, but she's not feeling very well either. So please continue to keep both of them in your prayers. And also Bert, keep her in your prayers. Right. So a lot of people, God has answered a lot of prayers for us already, and we just keep lifting those prayers up and asking for His continued blessings upon people. Just to give you a little bit of a program note so that you know what's going on, Cindy and I will be leaving Thursday afternoon to head down to, we're leaving again. We're going down to South Carolina Thursday. Our daughter will be getting married on Friday. And I'll be coming back Saturday, so I'll be here next Sunday. But Cindy is going to be staying down there for the next week or so looking after the kids. So keep her in your prayers and us and traveling and all back and forth. So that's just to let you know kind of what's going on with us. We've been talking about heaven. And specifically, we've been talking about how heaven helps us in our lives today. If we talk about heaven, it's kind of the ideas we've been asking, what do we need to know? There's a lot of things to know about heaven. And throughout this study, we're going to be looking at different aspects of it. But for right now, we're not really looking so much at the idea of, what happens when we get there. That's another part of this study later on. But more importantly, what we're looking at first is the idea of if heaven is real, and I believe that it is, how about you?
Yeah.
We're going to throw that in there this morning, okay? If heaven is real, then the question is, how does that help us now? In other words, just a little bit different of the idea of saying, well, yeah, I know heaven's out there someday, but, as we started out this study, one of the things that we saw in this was the idea of realizing that heaven someday helps me to live for Jesus today, okay? And so we're looking at different ways that heaven helps us in our lives right now, in the things that we deal with in this life, in this world, in the present circumstances that we find ourselves in. How does heaven help us? And this morning, as we continue with this study, and I mentioned this to you last week, we're going to be looking at how does heaven help us, and heaven helps us by giving us probably the best gift that heaven can give us, and that is the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about how does heaven help us by giving us the Holy Spirit. So we begin in the text that was read for us as we started this morning. Let's talk about another counselor, right? And what is that all about? What does that really mean? Jesus, before he went to the cross, in trying to reassure his disciples about his impending death, wanted to kind of give them some, reassurance that they would not be left alone after he died. You can just imagine, I think, if you just stop and think about it a little bit, how unsettled, to say the least, they must have been listening to the things that Jesus was telling them about his coming death. And probably one of the first things that came to most of their minds, because they thought along this line, was, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to us when you're no longer here? And so Jesus, in trying to reassure them, has this to say to them. John chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, he says, and he, that is the Father, will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you. And then he identifies that advocate as being the Spirit of truth. Okay? So Jesus answers their concerns with his getting ready to leave them, with reassuring them that he's going to, he's asked the Father, he's going to send them another counselor, or another advocate is the real word that is used there, okay? Now, an advocate is one who represents another one. That's the word that is used in that text in John. It's the same word that is used in 1 John chapter 2, where John says, "My dear children, I write to you that you will not sin." He says, "But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense." That's the New International Translation. But again, the word there literally says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Okay? So he's talking about an advocate here, not just a counselor, someone who gives us some nice comforting words or what have you, but someone who represents us before the Father, is that advocate in Jesus Christ. That's who he identifies in 1 John chapter 2. Jesus is the one who represents us before the Father. Okay? But Jesus in John 14 is saying that the Father is going to give us an advocate to be with us. Look at this text here. We're going to look at this text a couple of different times in some different slides here. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you. First of all, he says, another advocate. Okay? Now, think about it this way. How can you have another advocate if you haven't had one yet? Okay? That's like another Nut Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie. Y'all heard that commercial, right? Okay? You can't have another one if you haven't had one yet. And Jesus here is saying, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will send you another advocate. Well, what does that mean? It means that we've already had one advocate. Who is that? Jesus, right? Okay? Jesus has been their representative while he was here on earth. But he's getting ready to leave, and so he says to them, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will send you another advocate, another one who will represent the Father. Okay? He will help you, and he will be with you. Notice that he says here, for how long? Forever. Okay? In other words, Jesus wants him to understand his coming here and living here on this earth in bodily form was a temporary arrangement. He left heaven, his deity there, for a time. And now he was preparing to go back. But he's saying there's going to be another advocate, someone in his place, and that advocate is never going to leave. He will be with you forever. All right? You see, the Holy Spirit is the Father's advocate with us. Okay? So what happens here with this, and this idea of being an advocate, what did he say? One who represents another? He represents the Father to us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He represents the Father in heaven to you and I in our lives. And he will do that forever. In other words, until Christ comes back again to take those who belong to him to be with him. So, look at the text one more time here. Something else is a part of this that we need to understand, okay? He's going to ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth he identifies. But look at the next thing he says here. The world cannot accept him. Why? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. So the Holy Spirit is not accepted or understood or recognized by the world. That is, those who do not belong to God. And Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that right from the beginning. This advocate that is coming, that the Father is going to send, is not going to be accepted by the world. But you are different. Look at what he says. But you know him, for he lives where? With you and will be in you. You see, they needed to understand a very, very important aspect of this whole advocate thing. Jesus was here in bodily, physical form for a while. Okay? He's getting ready to leave. This other or another advocate is coming, that the world is not going to accept, the world is not going to recognize. Why? Because this advocate is going to live within the followers of Jesus Christ. So if you are not a follower of Jesus, you're not going to recognize this advocate, say, because he's not going to live in those who do not belong to Christ. That advocate is going to be here, and he's going to live with us and in us, he says. Okay? And then in verse 8, Jesus, to again reassure the disciples, says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And that's part of his point here. He doesn't want them to think he's leaving and they're going to be left to themselves. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. In other words, children who are going to have to fend for themselves and make do the best they can. That's the idea behind that. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to provide someone that's going to care for you and give you what you need. That's Jesus' promise here. Okay? Now, let me ask you this question. How many Holy Spirits are there? Not but one. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, there is one body and one Spirit. As you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that there's only one. You don't sound too sure. There's only one. Okay? So when Jesus is talking about sending the Holy Spirit and that Holy Spirit living with us and living in us, okay, when he told that to his disciples back then, okay, how many Holy Spirits are there? There's only one. So if we have that same Holy Spirit today, or we have the Holy Spirit today, we have what? The same one that they did then. Okay? That another advocate, because there's only one. But Jesus then gives his disciples some instructions. In Acts chapter 1, before he actually leaves to go back up to heaven, he tells his disciples this. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Okay? Wait. You say, well, what do you need to wait for? Well, waiting sometimes is important. Waiting has its place. And they needed to wait. Wait for what? Wait for the gift that my Father has promised. Okay? So we look at what Jesus wanted the disciples to do. They were going to go out and share the gospel and spread the gospel, right? Before they could do that, they needed to wait. Why? Because he did not want them trying to do it on their own. The first thing they needed was to wait. Okay? Wait. If they had tried to go out and do it on their own, in other words, if they didn't wait for the Holy Spirit to come, then their mission, if they tried to do it alone, would have been a failure. And God knew that. And that's why he promised to send this advocate, this counselor, this helper, one that would represent the Father to us, so that we in turn could take that representation to the world that is lost. That's what their mission was, and that's the same mission that you and I have today. They needed to wait until they received that gift. The power of the Holy Spirit is awesome, awesome power. They needed to wait for it. Without that power, they were going to be powerless. They would not have been able to do what they needed to accomplish for God if they tried to do it without the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, wait. That waiting was only for a temporary moment. Okay? You see, here's the problem that I think too many Christians have today. They're not willing to wait for the Holy Spirit. They're trying to make it on their own. They're trying to carry too much on their own. Trying to do too much on their own. And oftentimes trying to do things in the name of God on their own without accepting and recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Not just with them, but in them. You say? And Jesus said that Spirit would be with you and in you. When we try to do it on our own without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not accepting the help that heaven has given us to accomplish what God has sent us to accomplish. Okay? So we need to have that gift from heaven. The gift of the Holy Spirit with us and in us in our lives. Look at it again. Look at the text again one more time here, all right? What did he say? You will receive power. Okay? You will receive power. Now, with that power comes responsibility. And what is the responsibility that he gave to them? He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So Jesus wasn't just giving them this power of the Holy Spirit just so they could possess it and go around and do a lot of cool stuff. Okay? He was giving them that power so that they could accomplish his purpose of sharing the saving message of the gospel with the whole world. We receive Holy Spirit power in our lives today. Which Spirit is that again, by the way? The same Holy Spirit that Jesus promised his disciples. Because there's only one, right? That's what we said. Only one. So we receive the same Holy Spirit. Now, we do not receive the same miraculous power of the Holy Spirit that they did. But we still receive the same Holy Spirit because there's only one. Look at what Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 in response to the question of those who had heard his gospel message preached on that first day. And they said, what must we do? They're asking about their sin. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. See, that's a promise for you, he says, and for your children, and for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call, he says. That includes all of us, right? So people today say, well, yeah, we don't get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only works in the Word. They're wrong. Okay? They're wrong. The Holy Spirit works in us and through us. The same Spirit that did the same thing through the disciples back then. He works and he lives in us and works through us to accomplish his will. What is his will for us today? That hasn't changed one bit from what it was for them back then. We are to be his witnesses. Mm-hmm. To share the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit's power to help us to do that. Look at what Jesus says in what is referred to as the Great Commission. Okay, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, right? And he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I will be with you for how long? Forever. To the very end of the age, he says. Same thing he told his disciples. Jesus will be with us in the Spirit's form forever. As we go about carrying out the mission that heaven has given us to carry out. So heaven gave us the mission, but he also gave us the power by which to carry out that mission, didn't he? That power being the Holy Spirit. So when you start thinking about it, you go, well, I know I need to tell people about the gospel, but we start coming up with all these excuses. I can't really talk very well. I can't remember the scriptures. I can't, you know, maybe somebody asked me a question. I don't remember. Stop worrying about all that and focus on the fact that you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in your life. And he will give you what you need to carry out God's mission. You say, heaven helps us by giving us his Spirit. But with that Spirit, what we have to understand is that there's a way that we have to live, a certain way we have to live. Look at what the Apostle Paul says over in Romans. For those who live according to the flesh, okay, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the flesh, what did he say here? To set the mind on the Spirit is on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So what is he really saying here to us? He's saying you and I need to make a choice as to what way we are going to live. In other words, who or what are we going to live according to? And we've only got two choices. We're either going to live according to the flesh, or we're going to live according to the Spirit. Now, that's the reason that the Apostle Paul would tell us in verse 1 of chapter 8 and reassure us that if we belong to Christ, there is no condemnation. Remember last week I said to you, you know, a lot of times people say, well, are you going to go to heaven? And I say, yes, for sure I am. And again, it's not because I'm such a great person. It's because of what God has accomplished on my behalf. And I can know for sure that there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. Because why? Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us to accomplish God's purpose for us. Take a look at this text a little bit more. Look at what he says. Those who live according to the sinful nature, okay, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now again, notice the contrast between these two, all right? The mind of sinful man is death. So if you follow after the sinful nature, you're going to die. But the mind that is, and I like the way he uses this word, controlled. Okay? That means the Holy Spirit is, help me out here, in charge. Okay? The Holy Spirit is in charge. The mind that is controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So, you know, Chuck, when he started out with communion service this morning, asked us, you know, how many of us are struggling with physical pain and how many with emotional struggle, relational trouble, all the kind of stuff we've been talking about throughout the study, the garbage that we have to deal with, the turmoil and struggles that we have in this life. How does heaven help us? Well, when the Holy Spirit is the one that is controlling us, he gives us what? Life and peace in the midst of turmoil. Okay? Heaven's gift, in other words, takes control of our life. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But the Spirit, and this is a really cool part here, okay? Look at this here. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead does what? He says he dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So he gives us life even in this life. You say. And in the next he will give us life. I don't know about you, but I like life. Okay? Okay. I like life. And that life can be lived to its fullest when it is filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says here. The same power. Again, how many Holy Spirits are there? Just one. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. That's awesome power. And that power is what heaven has given to those who belong to Christ. Okay? And it's evidence that our own resurrection is certain right now. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned. What, am I doing enough to get to heaven? And all those kind of things. It's not a matter of doing enough and trying to measure up. It's a matter of accepting the grace of Jesus Christ and being washed in his blood. And that we can be sure of, you see. It's a mystery. Apostle Paul identifies that mystery. Text, we mentioned this last week. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, that's you and I, right? Among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. And then he refers to that Christ in you as the hope of glory. See? So when we have Christ living within us, then heaven gives us the hope that no matter what we're dealing with in this life, no matter what this world throws at us, we have power to sustain us through whatever we're dealing with now, and we have the hope of glory in the next life. And that's what heaven gives us by giving us the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you, then you do not belong to Christ, and you are still separated from God by your sin. In that situation, thus, you are hopeless. There is no hope of glory for those who are outside of Christ Jesus. But the good news is this. If you are presently outside of Christ Jesus, you can be saved right now today. You do not have to leave this place today still separated from God. Isn't that great news? Amen. And that's because of the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living and dwelling within you. The power that God has offered to help you to live in this life for the next. And we offer that to you right now, today, if you're ready to make that commitment. If you're not a Christian and you'd like to become one today, you can do that right now. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a prayer with him or conversation privately back there. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up here. If you're ready to become a Christian because you haven't done that yet, then do so now. If there's something else that we can help you with, whatever it might be, we can't help you if we don't know what's going on. And so we offer this time of invitation for anyone to come and to ask for prayers or help with whatever it is that we as a church family can help you with. Let's stand together and sing.